episode 229, February 2nd, 2016.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Well, we're doing the show without the chat and without Robbie because you were sick on Monday night, Joe. So we didn't do it live. So we're recording it Tuesday.
Can I talk about my illness real quick? Can I do that?
Yeah. I mean, you're okay, right?
Well, I am okay. I'm obviously, you're going to be able to tell listening to me that I'm sick. But yesterday was the worst of what I had going, right? People don't ever hear about my illness. But when I got home from my day job, I was so sick, I sat in the car for 45 minutes with the heat blaring on me, right? All I'm thinking is, God, I got to get in and get on this podcast. Then I text you guys, hey, I'm not going to be, you know, I need you guys to do most of the heavy lifting on this. I'm not feeling well. Then I go in my room and I turn the heater, another heater on me, blasting on me, and I'm in the fetal position, and I start getting pissed off. Because the reason that I'm doing this show this sick is because of Robbie. I know he's going to get pissed off if I can't do the show when I'm sick.
Because I remember last minute cancel.
Yes, a last minute cancel. You're not allowed to get sick. You're not allowed to do that. And I was texting people, and the more I laid there, the more fucking pissed off I got. So I literally sent a message saying, look, I can't do this, and I don't want to hear a fucking thing, Robbie. And of course, here's the thing. You posted, people are saying, hey, get better. I'm not dying. I was sick. Nothing from Rob. Nothing. Like, he is mad. Like, you're not allowed to be sick. And you have to be sick on his timetable. Does that make sense? If you're not sick at the appropriate time, like, you need to give him 3 days notice in order to be sick. But, you know, you don't get sick on 3 days notice. You get sick when you get sick.
Well, on Facebook, Jeff Hancock, he's a friend of the show. He's come to the murder mystery. Because I posted that you were sick, and he said, did Joe let Robbie know soon enough to avert catastrophe?
Yeah, there was two comments like that. Everybody
that's
knows.
That's a real question. It's not, I mean, it's funny, but it's also real.
Yeah, you can't be, and I'm sitting, and I'm literally sitting there like, you know, I'm a 47-year-old man. Oh, I'm scared to be sick.
Here we go again.
So I was basically said, look, I'm sick. And nothing from Robbie. Now, let me also say this. I love Gramps. I love him.
Right?
Right? He's my hero. But one of the things that I hate that he does the very most is when I am so sick, like I was last night, as soon as my father hears I'm sick, he starts calling me. The last thing I want to do is have a conversation with him. I feel like shit,
right,
you know? So, of course, I see that he's calling, and Katie's sitting there, and I go, oh, God, and I'm mad. And she goes, pick it up. So, you know, I do what I'm told. I pick it up. I go, Dad, this is my least favorite. I love you, but this is my least favorite thing that you do. When I'm so sick, you call me. Obviously, I'm not okay, but if I was dying, you'd know. I'm just sick. Because it's okay, you know. And then she starts yelling at me because I'm yelling at him for concern. I get it. I understand that he's concerned. I get that. But that is the very worst time for me to get a phone call.
Just leave me alone.
I'll be okay. Excuse me. I'll be fine. Just give me an opportunity to recoup. You know, look, if I'm dying, okay, let's say I was dying. Mm-hmm. I'm still not calling him. I'm going to call 911. He's still not going to get a call. And then you know what's going to happen after that? If I die?
Well, what's going to happen, Joe? I can't imagine.
Katie's going to call him and say, hey, your son's dead. So he'll know. You follow what I'm saying?
No, is Katie? Katie's not going to call Grams. Katie would call me or Robbie.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I mean, we're not going to make her tell Grams.
You're right, but someone's going to tell him, right?
You know what we ought to do? We'll have Tawanda tell him because the pain of you dying will be softened. Because today is Tawanda's birthday, and she's on Facebook, but not really. I mean, she hasn't posted in, you know, since like August or something. But, you know, if it comes up, it's your birthday. Well, Gramps, last night, before her actual birthday, happy birthday to the love of my life. Are you 26 now? 27? So he's beats me to it. He got in the first birthday out of everyone.
Well, yeah, but that's like me saying happy birthday to Katie today. And her birthday is the 23rd. You know, it's not her birthday. So, yes, you can obviously get it in before, but not on her birthday.
He had to be first, though, the first one to acknowledge it.
Is she upset? Does she say, how come he said happy birthday to me before you did?
No, it is funny that, you know, she's turning, I guess she wouldn't care that she's turning 40. And I gave her a card that said happy 30th birthday. You know, the joke is that's how old you look. And she's like, well, Graham said I was 26 or 27.
Right.
Hey, I want to get to that, but I want to just real quick go back to Robbie. Because last time we did the show in this fashion with Marcus basically running the ship without Robbie, and we spoke about Robbie without him there, the very next week I said, hey, Robbie, hear the show last week, and that's what led to the huge argument, the huge rant. So,
yeah, but is this
that,
is
are we
different.
Headed towards that next
no,
week?
No, no, because
feel
Robbie,
like we might be.
I don't think Robbie – I don't think Robbie is – well, Robbie's annoyed. He always gets annoyed when any schedule. See, that's what I'm saying. Robbie, he's a registered Republican. It doesn't surprise me because he hates change. You know what I mean? Robbie doesn't. That's why when my grandmother died and she was born in, I don't know, the 1910s, he took her furniture and put it in his house. He doesn't like change. He wants everything to be the same, and he doesn't like change to his schedule. And I really try to respect that in spite of all this other crap that we've gone through. I really do. But sometimes things come up. I think Robbie knows that, but he's still annoyed. Let me tell you something else. My girlfriend, Katie, she hates when I'm sick. She's annoyed at me when I'm sick.
Why?
Because who knows, you know? But at the end of the day, she doesn't give me any crap about it because she knows, well, it's not my fault, but she doesn't like it. You know what I mean? She doesn't like when I'm sick. Robbie's the same way. I don't have a lot of, my father's the only one that's sympathetic to me when I'm sick and he's bugging me. Does that make sense?
When I'm sick, all I want you to do is just leave me alone. That's all. Now, if there's a case where I could use something at the store, yeah, you can get that for me. But I don't need you waiting on me, or I don't even want you cooking me anything. I'm fine. Just let me be. Because
that would have done well for me as well.
Yeah. Well, if we ever get sick together, we'll do well together, Joe. Marcus Serta, we missed you last week. Of course, I got my fill of you the weekend before, and I sort of gave my side of that. Would you like to talk about your side of meeting me?
Yeah, you were a jackass. you made me blush last week. It's probably the first time that I've been on a radio show or podcast where somebody didn't try to rip into me in some which way. But no, I think you gave accurate information. I am a fun loving good guy, and by the way, I am good at poker. But I think the thing that I wanted to talk about in relationship to watching you on stage, since I had not had the opportunity to see you, you killed it, man. I mean, you killed it that night. And then poor Dave Koechner, who came after you, because, and I was thinking about this, and I think the way you deliver your act it's one joke after the other. They kind of pop. Dave Koechner's take a lot of setup before the punchline happens. But the worst
part... It's a different show.
Yeah. But the worst part was that right in front of me were these two whores.
Why was that bad? What was wrong with that?
Well, because I say that they're whores because the only thing I can think about is I wanted to put something in their mouths to shut them up. Because
they were talking?
They were loud talking.
They ended up getting kicked out.
And it stopped the show a number of times. Dave Koechner stopped his show to talk to them. I think they even tried to do it once during your show, Rob, but you dealt with it differently. Or they quieted down. I don't remember which, but it disrupted Dave's show. And so I really didn't get to enjoy what Dave was trying to bring to it. But I thought you killed it, man. And after the show, the people who are coming up to you to buy T-shirts and compliment you, you obviously had a new following. And, I think it was a successful weekend from just my one day of seeing it. I think it was great.
Rob's really a great comic. That doesn't surprise me at all. But you're burying the lead. Can you address when Rob lost all his money at the poker table right as he was getting up, packing up his jacket and everything? You said, hey, he'll be performing here all weekend. Did you feel like that's an okay thing to do?
I thought it was okay. Again, I was trying to be friendly and promoting. And I got your point of view when I heard it last week, and I get it, and maybe I'll think twice.
You
next
were
time.
Trying to say, look, he's not a loser just because of how he played that hand. Your heart was in the right place. But it was like I just wanted to just get away and not ever see those guys again.
Since Robbie's not on here, can you tell us, did Rob misplay the hand?
No, Rob got stuck with a hand, and really he could have probably only be beaten by two others.
He told me he broke it down for me, and I would have lost all my money in that hand as well.
Yeah, no, I think Rob played it well. The only thing he could have probably done was probably been more aggressive right at the beginning. But if I remember correctly,
pre-flop was the only way he could have done it because two jacks flopped, right?
There's no way I could have lost. I could have lost less money. I made the mistake. I don't want to bore people, but when he checked and I could have checked. But he ended up check raising me at the turn. And that's when I knew I was in trouble. But I actually thought that the river card won me the hand. But in reality, it just improved his.
What hands did you put him on, Marcus? Ace, Jack, and Jack 10? Meaning the only two hands that he could have really been holding. Or not pocket jacks. That would have been
no, ace king or ace queen he could have had. And I would have beat that on the river.
Yeah, I had him probably on ace queens. But the thing about it is that Rob saw it. I didn't get hit as hard, but I got nailed by a really nice hand as well, probably two rounds before that. But I managed to stay in longer. I did get $1,000 up at one time, but when I left, I was 314 up. So I figured, okay, got
that's
my
pretty
money.
Pretty good for one, too. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So I got
so
my
I don't
money.
Talk anymore.
I got Rob's money, and I got 14 extra bucks, so I'm good.
I don't want to talk any more poker, but Robbie, I do want to – I'm confused about the hand, so we're going to talk about it after the show.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. We'll have a – maybe we should do a second show of the week where we just break down poker hands.
There's some people that would love that.
You know, people have asked about us doing a second show, and if we did, this is how it would happen. It would happen without Robbie, without the chat – on a day like today, which is a Tuesday afternoon, with, you know, the three of us. Is that something you could see happening, Joe? Melissa Booker's asking. She's our newest super fan that I love.
No, I couldn't. I mean, seriously, not with what's going on in our lives right now. You know what I mean? I've never been busier in my entire life than I am right now. And you and I have two murder mysteries to write. And that is stressing me out. So,
yeah. Yeah, it is.
If we have free days, we're gonna dedicate it to our other
Well, that's why you're getting sick, Joe, is because you don't sleep. You're too busy doing all this stuff, and it's catching up to you. You're a 47-year-old man.
You gotta
slow down.
If I can ask a question, because I had an experience after seeing your show, Rob, and I wasn't quite sure how to deal with it. So I got this new wonderful t-shirt right after the show.
Rob's t-shirt?
Rob's t-shirt.
Yes.
And I got called out as a racist. And
what?
I got called out as a racist because, and the argument was that it was implying the size of black men's penises, let alone the size of white men's penises. And so the whole thing was racist and offensive.
Oh, wow. Now, you were wearing this out somewhere.
No, I actually showed it to somebody. I showed it to a friend of mine who I thought would get it.
And instead, Mermelstein?
No. Okay. Mermelstein would get it.
Was it a person of color, Marcus?
No, white woman.
Well, of course, yes.
She's an idiot.
Yeah, she's a moron. She is literally a moron, Marcus. And that's the worst kind of person. And that's somebody who gets offended on somebody else's behalf, right? Because she thinks she's doing the right thing by standing up for these people who, guess what? They think it's funny. And they can also stand up for themselves. They don't need this stupid bitch to be telling you something. I hate that shit.
It angers me too. I go back. I want to hear her reasoning. Because I'll just, the joke is, it's once you go white, you'll still be tight. It's a line in my act. And obviously it's a play on the once you go black. And, you know, it's white guys have smaller dicks. We're the butt of the joke. So I don't know. It there's nothing to do with black people or black men or anybody. I can't. You have to work really, really, really hard to get upset.
Yes, and then that's, in order to weave that crazy into your own agenda. Literally, all you're saying is white people have small penises. You can take it no further than that. You can say whatever the hell you want, but that's the message. So you deprecate yourself, right, and people like that, and people love the joke, and whatever. By the way, Marcus, if I ever hear that you're still friends with her, we're going to have a problem, you and I. But I've told this story on the air before, and I have a kid that I basically raised, okay? I don't talk about this a lot because I'm not trying to brag about anything. He's a black kid, and one time when he was in high school, I heard his friends using the N-word, his white friends, and I pulled him aside, and I said, listen to me, and I went through about why that should bother him and the history of it and blah, 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 blah. But you know what, Marcus? I was wrong. I was. I'm telling him why he should be upset. I'm explaining to him what should bother him. Who the fuck am I? Some old white guy? I should keep my fucking mouth shut, and I should let him be his own man. And guess what? He's a grown man now with kids, and he's engaged, and he's a great guy with a job. And I was sitting there trying to explain to him what should offend him. And that's none of my goddamn business. It isn't. It doesn't matter where I came from or what I know. People get to decide for themselves what offend them. I'm not going to project.
But Joe, you have every right to think that that would be offensive to him, because that's an offensive word.
I understand that.
Well, I can't even try to guess why that's offensive. I can't, to black people, I can't figure it out.
I had the same argument because I think a lot of the discussion that I had with her was surrounding meaning that she was applying that was not there in the words. It's the implication that black men have huge penises.
That's not what's implied. It is a play on once you go black, you never go back, which means, again, it's complimentary towards black men, that once you have a black man, you won't go back to white men. By the way, I doubt white people made that up. That was probably
people say that if you have sex with a black person, that you never go back to anything else.
So what Rob is doing is taking
offended by that.
God, you know what? I can't do this. She's wrong about this, Marcus, but
no, I agree. But here's the thing. I heard it then from a couple other people as well, because she decided, of course, I don't know why some women want to do this. And I say women because it's only happened to me with women, where they want consensus. So they decide that they're going to share it with others. And then,
yeah, but you know what, Marcus, though? That's a Robbie Robinson thing where he brings his girlfriend into the argument. You follow? Meaning, if Katie and I get into an argument and I call Rob and I go, you're not going to believe what Katie did. She did this, 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 and this. He is hearing one side of an argument, and I'm telling it to a sympathetic ear.
You're right.
So that means nothing to me. It doesn't mean anything. If you presented that to them and said, hey, is this shirt offensive? They probably would say no. Well, I don't know how she packaged it. But if they were going to be offended by that, they're going to be offended by a million things.
Yeah.
I've literally said that line 10,000 people over the years have heard it.
More than that.
Not once Has anyone ever said anything? I mean, I'm selling it as a T-shirt. Black women are buying. Black men are buying it. White women. Everybody, male, female, everyone is buying the shirt. I don't get it. And if I'm saying that black guys have bigger dicks, that's not bad. Do you understand
I'm
that?
I'm with you. Yeah,
and
no,
by the way,
I'm on your side.
You know what? Is she offended by once you go black, you never go back?
I didn't go that far. I didn't say those words, so I can't tell you. But what I did say to her, because it was not that long after where we were seeing that new Wayans film promo on TV for 50 Shades of Black. I said, hey, are you going to go see this movie? Because it's all of these kinds of jokes. And
I'll tell you what, if you want to drive a wedge between the races, this is how to do it. But making sure that you find offense in these things, you know, it's toxic. It is.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it's funny. I get the joke. This is just one of those things. And I think it comes not because of the fact that it's truly offensive.
You know, the show I sold the most shirts ever the week was with Tommy Davidson, where it was 90% a black audience. And you know, you're saying your wife has worked in these and dealt with these people. A lot of them have lived this, what she's talking about.
Yeah.
It really asks a lot of other people for you to tell them how they need to feel about something when you are not a part of the group that they belong to.
But hey, I'm 100% positive that Robbie is loving that last part. He's going to try to reach out to book her on the show. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. My next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. It's going to be incredible. Don't miss it.
Two upcoming performances, February 13th at AMP by Strathmore in Bethesda and February 14th at Ramsett on Stage in Annapolis. Tickets on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more information, please visit facebook.com/DieLaughingProductions or robinjoe.com.
Are we good?
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
All right. On another note, you know, I wanted to talk about this, but maybe now's not the right time. It's the Super Bowl, obviously. We've got the Broncos, the Panthers. And I'm getting tired of the turning Cam Newton into Jackie Robinson. I don't know if you're following this, but the idea that somehow Cam Newton has all these detractors because he's black, which, look, I'm sure that exists. But I'm seeing this online, like he's like overcoming all this. And I'm like, not in the world I live in. Like, I'd have never, everyone I know thinks Cam Newton is awesome.
Cam Newton was the number one. He ended up having to go to community college because I think he stole a lap. Something happened to him early on in his career. And then he was Auburn. He was the number one recruit coming out of college.
He is a five-star recruit, number one pick. Look, I get what you're saying because I made the same point. But now he earned all that.
So that's what I'm saying. No, my point is he was a star recruit. He won the Heisman Trophy. He won the national championship. He was the number one overall draft pick in the draft. And now he's the face of many, many endorsements. He has all that he has. Him and Tom Brady are the lead Under Armour people for the NFL. So he's got all the big endorsements. I just saw him on a soft drink the other day, but he has all of them. He's got shoes, which is Under Armour. He's got soft drink. He's got fast food. He's got everything.
He's on the top of the world right now, and
he's about to be the league MVP as well.
Yeah, I think the Super Bowl MVP and winner of the game. I think
I would imagine so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the favorite. I think that they're going to win pretty handily, but what do I know? But I just, you know, and I see people like posting like tweets about people that are saying bad things about him. Look, I know like 50 people on my Facebook that think Bill Cosby's innocent. So I actually know these people. They're not some person on Twitter I've never met. So that to me is the real thing. People that I know think that. not some person on Twitter who I don't even know is real. So do people hate him because he's black? I don't know. Yeah, racists do. But they hate everyone who's black because they're black because they're racist. So,
Did a piece today on 98 Rock because Mike Anderson doesn't like him. He does.
I saw that. They did a love it or shove it. And it's 71% right now love him. And that's a 98% white audience.
Yeah, yeah, that exactly. So if you go over to, 102Q, it's going to be, 99%.
So, I saw this meme, and it said it had four players' pictures. And it had three white players, and it had Cam Newton. And then it had, like, Aaron Rodgers, and it said resilient or something. And J.J. Watts, fearless and all these adjectives. And then it gets to Cam Newton, and it says thug. You know the only time I've ever heard him called a thug?
That
was
meme.
By that meme.
Yes,
okay?
Exactly.
Right? Is he cocky? Yes. First of all, let me just say this. He's Superman good looks. He looks like the perfect Greek god. He's dominates at every level. And he's cocky. Sometimes people don't like that guy. Okay? You see Revenge of the Nerds? Did you have trouble understanding why the villain was the good-looking star quarterback? Okay? Where people are like, I don't get it. Like, you know the guy in high school that's great at everything, that's smart, that's in the band, that plays an instrument, that's a star quarterback, that dates the cheerleader, they get straight A's? Some people didn't like him, okay? Because that's just the way the world is. For every person that's something bad about Cam Newton, I have heard 1,000 about Tom Brady. So
it's
true.
You're
gonna be amazing. You're going to have people hate you. The Yankees are hated because they're dominant franchise in the history of the sport.
Yes, Duke is hated.
Yes. So, but don't act like he's Jackie Robinson.
No. There's been black quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl. There's been black quarterbacks to win the MVP of the league. There's been black quarterbacks to win the MVP of the Super Bowl. He's not Jackie Robinson. Matter of fact, the first black quarterback ever to win the Super Bowl, Doug Williams for our Washington Redskins.
Yeah, and I see people describing Cam overcome the odds. No, you a running quarterback can win. Do you not watch football? Russell Wilson just won the Super Bowl and came a yard away from winning again.
Yes, he's been in the last two Super Bowls.
Yes, he's the running quarterback. He plays the read option. He was shit on by the scouts. He fell in the draft. Everything you're giving these descriptions of Cam Newton, no, it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's ridiculous, but some white woman in North Carolina wrote a letter to the paper that she didn't like Cam because he's brash and cocky, and now it's become this whole thing, and it's like, okay, I mean, I like Cam Newton, but I'm going to make fun of you if you dance for 15 seconds. Any man that dances for 15 seconds by himself with no music, I'm going to laugh at. I mean, I'm going to make fun of that.
Well,
human nature.
He was the quarterback on my fantasy football team this year, leading me to the championship game. So I didn't – you think I loved him the whole year. I mean, I was rooting for his greatness. But guess what? If next year you have him, I probably won't root for him.
Right. But you still like him. You still think he's awesome.
Of course I like him. Well, of course, my ex-wife went to Auburn, right, and we were still married at the time when he played, in the national championship. That was a big deal to us. So, yeah, I mean, I have a great love for Cam Newton, but you're absolutely right. where you look for things, there's nothing there. Yes, there's right. Somebody that's not going to like some kid with cancer. That doesn't mean people don't like cancer kids.
I saw a guy say that there's 2 million female musicians in the world better than Adele. I mean, that's somebody said that, okay? So there's always going to be idiots, right? 2 million. So basically one out of every, like, 3 female musicians are better than Adele. That's what you're saying. Go to karaoke night. 8 of those women are better than Adele. Hey, let's talk about the Avalon Theater we did. We're in the middle of 7 straight shows, murder mystery shows at new venues, which is awesome. For us, clearly, we're getting new places. But we did the Avalon. And, this is a theater. They have it's in Easton, Maryland. It's not going to be a comedy club in the sense where you're concerned. Can we say the things we like to say? Can we get away with things? It's prettier and nicer and classier.
And older.
And older.
Yes.
And whiter. Right. And also, Justin, he wasn't feeling that well, and he seemed out of it. And I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. Is he going to be able to do it? But, like Michael Jordan against the Utah Jazz, you're sick. He came up. He was on fire. He went just balls to the wall, and they ate it up. I mean, it was an awesome show.
It was. But I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. Justin was not sick. He was having some sort of personal issue. This is the text I got.
I think he also was. Okay, yeah.
This is the text I got from him at 5:21. Now the show, the doors open in 2 hours.
All right.
Here we go. So do we have room tonight for a few extra? And then he mentions his girlfriend's family wants to come, all four, and the baby. Okay, so.
Baby's like 3 months old.
I get that text, and I just say, LOL, what else would I say? You know, Justin right. is a professional comedian. He knows you can't bring babies to shows, right? So not, I don't get anything back from him, nothing. So I'm like, is this real? So I call him up, and I go, hey, dude. He goes, hey, man. I go, what's going on? He goes, it's cool. The baby's not coming. The baby was, he was going to bring a baby to, I don't know what's going on in his personal life.
Oh.
But I know that if a baby makes it to the murder mystery, it ain't good. So there's some sort of turmoil going on. So, but that was the thing. I wasn't worried. I really wasn't, because I know him. But I thought he was the funniest that he ever was. I think I thought it was the best he'd ever been at this.
I agree. And there was a moment where we simulate a phone call, and we have a phone ringing sound effect. Justin answers the phone, or he's on the phone. The other end answers it. And then there's another sound effect we play throughout this little dun 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 thing as you, Joe, are actually listing important points to the puzzle here. And RJ, who was doing sound for the first time, instead of hitting the dun-dun-dun, he hit the phone ringing sound effect again, which makes no sense. Justin, without missing a beat, pretends like the other line's calling. He picks it up. Hey, Mom, I can't talk right now. I told you not to call me in this lumber. And then goes back to it. People thought that it was part of the show.
Yeah, now RJ Jackson, who was doing sound, he does a lot of our video work, and he's a great guy. But it was the first time he was doing sound, and before the show, he said, "Hey, I'm a little nervous. There's a lot of, you know, I'm a novice at this, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Listen, I'm telling you right now, no matter what you do, how bad you screw up, Justin will fix it." Yeah. And he said, Robbie said the same thing to me, and it ended up being true. You know, he actually ended up ripping RJ from the stage, and it,
right.
You know, and people just ate it up, and it was anyway, yeah, it was one of my favorite shows because of what he was able to do when things didn't quite go his way.
Yeah, now we're coming up on we're gonna be on the Mike O'Mara show either the 9th or the 10th. We'll tweet it out, but it'll definitely be next week, and we got a big set of shows next weekend. February 13th and 14th. We're just hoping to get two sellouts for Valentine's Day. The 13th at AMP in Bethesda, beautiful music venue. And then the 14th downtown Annapolis, the Ram set on stage for the AMP show. They're super cool over there. They've been pushing hard on Facebook, and we're doing a promotion. I have a Facebook event up on our Rob and Joe Show Facebook, or you can just, you know, tweet or message or post. It doesn't really matter how. But if you can tell us your worst Valentine's Day experience and we pick your story, you will win two free tickets to the show at AMP February 13th. That's in Bethesda, Maryland. You win two free tickets. And if you're a couple, you could be part of the show if you want. There's a role for you if you would like it. If not, you could just come and get free tickets. So all we're asking you to do is tell us your worst Valentine's Day experience. And because, again, the worst is funny. Good isn't funny, but bad is funny. So I don't know. Do you have a bad experience, Joe?
On Valentine's Day? I can't.
It seems like it's more of a woman is going to have more of a story, I would think.
Yeah, I don't have any bad. Because here's the thing about Valentine's Day is that usually you don't do that. Because if you are dating a girl like a couple times and then you go, hey, right. You want to go out for Valentine's Day? It's weird. Like, is that kind of the kind of relationship we have? Are we together right. on Valentine's Day? So that's usually something for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and then something horrible would have to happen, you know, like somebody, the restaurant catches on fire or there's a fight or something like that, and I've never had an experience like that.
Well, we had, and we'll read them on the show next week. Hopefully they'll get some funny ones. But Sonia, we have a listener in Ontario, Canada, Joe.
Does she want to win free tickets?
I hope so, yeah. Her date neglected to tell her that there was a 2-hour walk from the bus stop to where they were meet. It's like a ghost walk. It's a 2-hour walk until the end of the destination.
How far can you walk in 2 hours?
I don't know, but I don't. You don't want to ever walk 2 hours, right? I mean, you're on the Vegas Strip, maybe. You're hiking, but
what do you
dates.
Usually walk? You usually walk about maybe 10 miles an hour. Does that sound right, Marcus?
Sure. Like I walk that far.
I don't know. No, I'm just saying. I mean, let's say you walk 5 miles an hour. I mean, she had to walk 10 miles. I mean, that's, are you kidding me? It's like me walking to work.
And when it's over, they have to walk back, by the way. And he says it was dark. She said it was dark. He only had one little flashlight for him. I mean, it sounds like a horror movie.
I mean,
that's a pretty bad story.
She banged that guy?
She totally did. I just added that part. And he was a white guy. And she said, I'll still be tight. And then he said, that's offensive.
He left her there.
He left her there to die. So, again, we're going to hopefully, you know, it's Valentine's Day weekend. We're looking for 2 sellouts, 2 new venues. Let's do this, people. The Newly Dead Game. That's the one we're doing. It's a couple's theme one. Perfect for Valentine's Day. We want to – oh, Tawana's birthday today. We're going out to eat. I made reservations at a place that we have never been to, her and I. And she says, oh, been there before. And it's a nice restaurant. So I'm thinking,
uh-oh.
A guy took her there.
Another NBA basketball player?
Probably. Yeah, let's be honest.
Was it Purvis Ellison?
Never nervous. Good reference, Joe. Showing her age. I want it to be our experience, but now it's tainted by some other dude that took her there.
Did she say who it was? Did she mention the name?
She didn't. And if it was like a girlfriend, she probably would have said that. But the fact that she didn't means clearly, you know, it's a place you could take a date. You and I wouldn't go there. It's the Iron Bridge in Columbia. Right? It's not Applebee's. It's not Red Robin.
Does that really bother you?
Nah, not really.
No, that wouldn't bother me either. Like, no. Katie loves the Melting Pot. I know she must have been there a million times with ex-boyfriends. What am I going to do? I like it, too. I like fondue.
You know, I never had fondue.
Just dipping stuff and stuff.
I know what it is.
Yeah, you've had it. You just haven't had the stick.
Right? You haven't had a stick. Does that make all the difference?
Right, that's you dip things, right.
Saw this today on Facebook. A woman in London bought a Kit Kat bar, didn't have the wafers inside. It was just straight chocolate. And she was very offended, and she wrote Kit Kat and is asking for a lifetime supply of Kit Kat bars. And I say it can't hurt to ask, right? But what would be your lifetime supply candy bar, Joe?
Well,
this is where Eric the actor would hate the show, by the way.
Give me a second. I guess I'd go peanut M&M.
Yeah, I think I'd go Snickers bar.
Yeah, that was what I was waffling, but yeah.
Marcus?
I'm not a fan of that type of cheap chocolate, so there isn't a candy bar on the planet I would go with. So I'd probably go Twizzlers.
Are you a chocolate elitist?
I am.
What do you like, so Toblerone?
No.
I don't know. I've only seen that. I've never actually opened one up.
What is your... So there's no chocolate that you buy that you could just get at a grocery store. You have to specially order this.
Probably the most prevalent brand that I would buy is Scharfenberger.
What? Get the fuck out of here. I'm offended by that. Scharfenberger? I never heard. Okay.
Yeah, it's a high-end chocolate. It's made in San Francisco. It's really good, but usually you can find it in your finer grocery stores small boutique baking shops.
That's not you could spell it. You were able to spell it. What do you spell it? S-C-H-A-R?
A-E-R. Something like that.
I Googled it and it figured it out.
Right.
You can get a 1 ounce bar for $2.49.
What is it? Just straight chocolate?
Well, this one, their featured bar of the month, it has soft notes of citrus plus honey overtones. It's 62% semi-sweet chocolate bar. It's a perfectly balanced flavor profile.
Can you order just one bar, Marcus, and have it sent from San Francisco?
I've never done it that way. I've usually I've bought one bar in a store, but I've never bought I've never ordered it online. I've had to buy boxes online.
So at Halloween, did you just not accept candy? You're like,
no, thanks.
No, I'm just not a big fan of chocolate. During Halloween, I like Necco wafers. I like Twizzlers. And that's really about it. And then I'm pretty much done. Otherwise, if you want to go back to my childhood, I love freezing Charleston shoes.
Wait a minute, the Necco wafer, that's that dusty one, right? The dusty circle, right?
It's like taking communion in every bite, yes.
The thing I remember about the Necco wafer is only about 2 out of 5 were good,
yeah,
right?
The licorice one, and that was my favorite one. But the chocolate ones are awful.
Yeah, the pink one was good. It tastes like a, you know, wintergreen or whatever.
Yep.
And then the licorice one, but then the other ones taste like grass. The white ones.
Yeah, very positive. It's been a while, but yeah.
On their website, Marcus, they have a bar called Extra Dark. Is that offensive? I don't know. Can I even say that?
Sounds delicious. I want one in my mouth right now.
Hello. All right, Scharfenberger. Well, I'll put that on the list.
See if we can get them as a sponsor.
Yeah, make that happen.
All right, I'll see what I can do
on that, Marcus. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the masturbation booth. Ugh. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Beware of the Valentine's Day trap. If she tells you she doesn't want anything for Valentine's Day, what she really means is, remember to get me something for Valentine's Day. Show her you're thinking of her by getting her something unique and different. This year, get her the gift she's sure to love, Sherry's Berries. Giant, fresh dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at $19.99. Just go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the upper right corner, and enter code Rob and Joe. You can even double the berries for just $10 more. You must use the code Rob and Joe when you order. That's an over 40% savings. Dipped in white, milk, or dark chocolatey goodness, Sherry's Berries can be topped with chocolate chips, decorative swizzle, or nuts. For just $19.99, she is going to love these giant, romantic, juicy strawberries. Or double the berries for just $10 more. For this amazing Valentine's Day deal, visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the code Rob and Joe, or call 866-FRUIT-02 and mention the Rob and Joe Show. Surprise her with something different and delicious. Shop Sherry's Berries today.
And now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Our resident porn guy, Tim Moran, show announcer, sent us this. It's been all over Facebook. There's a masturbation booth in New York City. You go in there. I think there's a laptop. And you're calling it Guy-Fi.
What, where does it go?
Where does it go?
Where does the stuff go?
It goes to Narnia. I don't know. There's, on the picture, there's a guy with his tissues on the floor.
That's just a press photo.
I mean, this can be real, can it?
I mean, I think it's real. Is it? I don't think it would be legal.
It says it's on the, no, I don't think it'd be legal. It's 28th Street and Fifth Avenue in New York City. See, if you have a smartphone, you always have porn. I mean, every place is a masturbation booth.
Have you ever masturbated at work, Rob?
You know what? I think there was a hot chick in one of my driving classes years ago, and I went in the bathroom.
Did you use, this was years ago, did you use your phone?
I used her.
Just her, you just thought about her?
I just thought about her getting the test wrong and having to stay after.
that's not an uncommon event for me. I mean, maybe once or twice a month I'll go in there and, you know, just relax myself.
At your current job, you've done that.
Yeah. The bathroom's not in the office. So I walk out of the office into like a communal bathroom. I go in the stall. There's actually been times where, you know, I turn the volume all the way down on my phone and I just start, you know, going to town. And then like every once in a while, somebody will walk in the bathroom and I'll just, you know, stop.
What's more likely? Scott Apple has never done that at your job, or he's done it 5 times already this week?
Well, I would say never done it, because, you know, remember from previous episodes, Scott is he takes like 2 hours to do that. He has to come back to work.
Ah, you're right. So he's never disappeared for like 2 hours at a time. And you're like, that was a long lunch. And then he's still hungry. You know, that's never happened.
No. Scott never misses lunch either. And that's the truth. He goes to lunch every single day. Matter of fact, when we have birthday parties in the office, this is honest to God truth.
Right.
And they order pizza. If the pizza isn't there by 12, he goes out to eat. He pays for the, like, everybody chips in, but he won't wait for the pizza to come.
Marcus, have you ever at work?
Yes.
Done the deed?
Oh, yeah.
At your current job?
No, my current job's at home, so yes.
Have you ever, in the middle of a DJ shift, at the studio?
No.
I've ever had, like,
been with others.
Yeah. What?
I've been with others.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Had sex at work. With a listener or with a coworker?
Both.
Oh, what?
You've had sex with a listener?
Caller number 7.
Come on
it's
in.
It's my cock.
It's radio, baby. It's awesome.
What?
Come on.
Now, did they came in to have sex with you, or they just came in to win some prize and then you wooed them?
No, they came in to have sex.
What's your format, Marcus? What's the format?
Fucking.
During the time that I'm thinking, it was CHR, Top 40.
Top 40? So you're like, this is Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham! And then you just put that on, and then she comes in.
It wasn't that long ago.
You gave her some Scharfenberger chocolate.
I need to know a little bit more about this, Marcus. How did this happen? Did you guys just start flirting over text or something? Or
no, she called in to make a request, and we started talking on the phone, and we were flirting on the phone, and then it became obvious that maybe there was more to it. But
you didn't know what she looked like.
Yes, I did.
How?
She emailed
you pictures. Like, yes. You better send a picture.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She knew what you looked like, obviously.
Oh, yeah, because it was on the website.
Right. Well, you have a sexy voice. There's no doubt. There's no denying that.
No, you kept telling people in Connecticut.
Did you do it in the studio where the board is?
No. That time was in the conference room.
What are you, George Costanza?
I have done it in the studio, yes.
Were you doing nights?
That particular shift was, the 7 to midnight shift.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's nobody in the building. That's the shift I worked.
Yeah, weekends is even better because it's even quieter.
Well, Joe, you've never had that happen at 98 Rock, have you?
No. As a matter of fact, you have a better story than I do.
Yeah, I had the strippers in, and then we ended up in the bathroom, and she started doing her thing, and then she asked me for money.
So, Rob said, "Well, I don't have any money. I'm Rob."
I said, "You should have asked Mickey Coachella." Wow, Marcus, you learned something new. See, I told you, Marcus is a wild man. He gets after it.
Right? Yeah, I'm not shy.
No, you're not.
Hey, can we tease what we're going to do next week?
We were going to do this bit next week or this week, but Robbie's not here. It won't work without him. But we mentioned a couple years ago Robbie getting accused of cheating in his Bachelor Fantasy League by good friend of ours, Phil Rhodes, a man of the people, a man you can trust, a man of honor. And for fun this year, Joe, myself, Scott Apple, and Robbie did our own little lower scale, not playing for money, just for the fun of it, Bachelor Fantasy League. And we talked about the odds of how much Robbie is doing, how well he's doing. And we have new information that we think makes it pretty clear that once again, he has cheated.
Well, I'm going to say this.
I don't want to talk too much.
I won't. I'm going to say this. The issue may be what Robbie considers cheating, because there's no doubt, literally at this point, there's no doubt that he has information that wasn't privy to the rest of the people in the competition.
Clearly.
And he might believe that that is fair game. I haven't seen that information, and who knows if Robbie decided to make that available to us, who knows if we'd really see what he looked at. But there are these mathematical and circumstantial pieces of evidence that make it almost impossible for him not to have a clear advantage over us in terms of, you know, being able to pick the correct people. We're going to actually have a trial. We would need an objective party to be the judge. And if he will agree for you to be that, Marcus, that'd
absolutely
be great. But we're going to have a prosecutor, which of course will be Attorney Scott Apple.
Right.
And there's witnesses that are going to be called, and Robbie will have an opportunity to defend himself. And then at the end, either Marcus or someone else, if Robbie's not comfortable with Marcus doing it, can determine whether or not they think Robbie cheated. Now, if Robbie did cheat, he'll be removed, and then I'll be the winner of the fantasy league.
I agree. And let's say you're in a fantasy football league, and there was a kicker, let's just say the Redskins kicker, was not on the injury report at all. And a guy in your league picked up that morning the backup for the Redskins, their backup kicker, guy you've never heard of. And suddenly the starting kicker, he was hurt, he had an injury. This guy started. Now, you would only do that if you had some sort of inside information.
Why are you picking up a backup kicker? Exactly. Or maybe even somebody who's not on a roster, right?
Right.
Why are you doing that? Right.
That's the kind of thing we're talking about with Robbie. So we'll get into it next week. He'll defend himself. I'm sure he can do no wrong in the eyes of Eric the Actor in the chat. So they can chime in with their own questions next week. It's an open forum. But that's what we're doing next week. And also, I just heard from Rob Spiewak. We're going to be on the 10th. That work for you, Joe?
Yes.
All right. We'll be on TMOS on February 10th. Listen for that. And see me in Richmond this week. And again, February 13th and 14th, Bethesda on the 13th, the 14th in Annapolis, Murder Mystery. Hit us up. Thank you, Marcus.
Thanks, Marcus. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Bye.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.